News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It is a Saturday. I'm in the closet with Melissa. How's it going?
It's getting really
crowded
in here.
There's no windows in here. There's a window into those guys, but they can't see out either. So it's raining or something.
It's sprinkling out there.
Sure.
Nice. It's
fall. Hey, you know what? That's going to make news.
It's going to make news.
El Paso. It's raining.
I know. Hey. I just washed my car. Dang it.
Life goes on. Hey, well, you know, we're here as always doing El Paso history on the radio. And as we always say, Texas history begins in El Paso. We're on KTSM 690. Where else can you find us?
You can also go to KTSM Radio, or well, KTSM.com, and you can click on the Listen Here or Listen Live app. Or you can also get the iHeartRadio.com, and you can listen to us on there live anywhere in the world. You can also listen to KTSM Radio all week long.
That's on the internet, you're thinking, right?
Yes, yes, on the internet.
I have to go there and see what's going on
there.
Yes,
it's amazing how many people listen to us around the world.
Trivia.
Oh, lots of trivia.
Trivia today.
We're getting trivial, yes.
You're going to talk about trivia?
Yes, we are going to talk about trivia.
And are you going to tell us what the prizes are?
Yes, I am.
This would be a good time.
I'm going to hold it out. No, we're off schedule here. No, as usual, we're going to have a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's New Mexican Food up there in Canyotillo, or a choice of an El Paso Gold DVD, of which we have some wonderful choices this week. We've got The Smelter. We've got Ghost Stories 4 and 2. We have, I'm kind of getting out of line here. We've got, The Women's Club, Gunfights the Old West.
Now, you're naming all the videos that you're in.
I'm in, of course. Legends of El Paso. Oh, Legends of El Paso's Mountains.
You're not in that one.
No, I'm not.
You're just a legend.
I'm just a legend, yes, in my own mind.
In your own mind. But the point is, these are videos we can give away to you.
That's right. And this is history. This is really the true history where you can really get it visually. And you're still doing them on KRWG.
Right now, we'll get to the details on that, but we're running all of these on Channel 22 out of Las Cruces, which is the other El Paso, believe it or not, PBS station.
You get two.
It's licensed as a area of dominant influence by broadcasting people is an El Paso station. So every Sunday night we're running one of these DVDs live on tape or live on DVD or whatever.
Or dead on tape.
10:30 at night. We'll tell you more details on that. Okay, so we've got it figured out that if you call in, you get a prize here. These are the prizes. But now let's also talk about what we're going to do about history this morning.
Lots of history.
We've got lots of history going on here.
Years and years.
You have seen either Facebook and or the Channel 7 promo this morning. You will know left to right, we have Dr. David Grabitsky. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And right to left, we have Tracy Jerome, the director of the Museum and Cultural Affairs Department of El Paso.
Good morning.
Welcome here. Now, you're reversed in the studio here, but they don't know that out there.
Yeah.
And so it goes. But you guys are here today to help us understand what we're doing in El Paso for our history. And you're the two that we're looking to. Tracy, you've been in here before, but you've also been in the MCAD person who's pretty much steering all the museums.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what your job
Absolutely.
Is?
Absolutely, and it's a pleasure to be back. The last time I was here, we were talking about one of my goals, which was to place some incredible leadership in all of our museum sites because we haven't had dedicated permanent leadership.
Well, go in order. You did archaeology.
Okay. So about a year ago, we placed Jeff Romney in as the director at the Museum of Archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff had been with the department in other capacities for a number of years, but this is his real love, his passion. This is where his training is. And Jeff is just doing incredible things at that site. We're so happy to be there with him.
The Museum of Archaeology.
The Museum of Archaeology.
Oh, it's great we have that.
It's such an incredible asset for us, and there's so much happening, which I look forward to talking more with you about as today rolls out, because we're getting into Archaeology Month. We're getting into Tom Lee Month. We're getting into Chalk the Block Month. We're getting into the biennial conference at the Museum of Archaeology Month.
That's true, yeah.
October is my birthday as well, so it's a
special. Oh, a happy birthday in advance.
More history.
Well, now, as you come down in history, you then took care of the position at the Museum of Art.
Museum of Art. We were very, very pleased to welcome in January Dr. Victoria Ramirez, who was previously the director at the Bullock in Austin.
Oh, my gosh.
So what
the Bullock is the Texas State History Museum.
The Bullock is the Texas History Museum.
Yeah. Neat museum,
and,
too.
Yes,
I've been there.
And Victoria, Dr. Ramirez is an amazing individual. Again, she came from, her background is, it was in art history. She moved over to the Bullock, did some amazing things there, sort of integrating what art and history can do together.
You could cut her loose here.
And then we were very happy that she was interested in returning to art, and she was very, very keen to come to El Paso. And she's now been here, as I said, she arrived in January, and again, doing amazing things at the Museum of Art, and again, integrating. We have there's an exhibition, it's getting ready to close, please hurry and go and check it out. It's a collaborative exhibition with the Museum of Archaeology. It's contemporary two-dimensional works that were inspired, it's Helen Hardin's work, inspired by many of the artifacts and the Native American three-dimensional works that were created and that we have in our collection at the Museum of Archaeology. So again, something that was really important to me to make sure that we were doing, which was working across our sites, the two directors there got together and said, why don't we collaborate? And so the experience for the visitor there has been amazing, because not only do they see this incredibly beautiful contemporary created work, but then they get to see the artifacts that were the inspiration for that work.
And now museum number 3.
And I am absolutely thrilled to pieces to be able to introduce to the community, for those of you who have not met him yet, Dr. David Grabitsky. David joined us in July. He came, again, as a result, as did Dr. Ramirez, the result of a national search. We had local, regional, and national candidates applying for the position. But the search committee felt overwhelmingly and agreed that Dr. Grabitsky was really what we needed at this time at the Museum of History. He definitely hit the ground running. He's been here how many weeks?
9 weeks.
Yeah, when you're counting in weeks, you know it's still quite fresh, but he got here in July. Bought a house. His family is with him. He's got three little beautiful kids who are going to be growing up in El Paso, having that great, unique, you know, El Paso experience.
And a wife who was tired of the snow, I hear.
Absolutely, yeah.
From Minnesota.
Yes.
Well, that's a plus in El Paso. Yeah. If you're not really into the cold, this is a good place for you.
Yes, it is.
And if you're not into the hot, this is a good place for you. Because, I mean, the hot is over in Arizona.
Yeah.
People need to realize, yo, West Texas can be hot. Well, I'd rather live here than Dallas or Houston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when they get hot, they get sticky, humid.
Yes. It gets cool at night here compared to the other places. Trust me, I've lived in Arizona. I know.
Well, they just
stay hot.
Kind of, yeah, whatever. You know. But David, you're here and you're hitting the ground running. What have you learned so far about our dear history?
Well, El Paso history is just amazing. I think probably for me, the key aspect is always connections in history. And one of the big connections for me is all of the connections I'm finding from where I came from to here. That's always the entry point.
And where you came from was Minnesota?
Well, if you need to pronounce it in the Scandinavian accent. Yes.
No, that was Texas. That was West Texas accent.
Okay. Yeah, no, Minnesota is often thought of as a very Scandinavian state. That happened about 100 years ago when the state kind of rebranded during the first war with Germany. And because the state is and still is today largely and predominantly of German heritage.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And so, you know, you get the Coen brothers movies and Fargo and so on.
Fargo, yeah.
And what you often hear is the real Scandinavian accent coming out from Minnesota, but that is definitely a part of that heritage there, but not the whole heritage.
You don't seem to have that accent.
No. as you can tell from my last name, it's Polish. It's been Germanized. My great-grandmother, who I knew, she died when I was 13, changed the spelling of the name from Polish to something that made a little more sense to her in German.
You've been Americanized now. So
well,
there you are.
Something like that, yeah.
So tell us about this story you got, because you and I did have a discussion a week ago concerning how you treat history.
Yeah.
And you have a different look than some people, from what I get.
Well, I don't know if it's all that different, per se. If you go back about 110, 120 years ago, the National Education Association and the American Historical Association were taking a look into why we teach what subjects we teach in school and trying to determine if, you know, from a modern sense at that time, you know, do we need to keep all of the ones that we have? Do we need to add in any others? And so on. And the committee of 10 came up with some things. They looked into committee number 8 was all about history and whether or not we need to keep history. It's in the past, right? Can't help us in the future.
Oh, yes, it can.
Oh, you know? I think you're going to differ with that.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, there's a radio commercial, and I still don't know what she's selling, but she comes on and says, you know, we don't go to school to learn that 2 + 2 = 4, you know, for math. We learn math to check our results. There's always an underlying meaning behind every subject that we study. And, you know, the same is true for art. There was a famous example in the art world. The Frick Museum of Art in New York offered art appreciation training in how to read art to law enforcement. And what they discovered was that law enforcement was able to solve their crimes more quickly and more accurately than those who hadn't had the training.
Because
we study art not to know or to teach you what's beautiful. You already know what's beautiful, right? You have your own opinions on those. But we study art to really get into the human mind and see how someone grew up, their patterns of thought, and so on. And you might think, well, translating that into law enforcement, someone must be out of their mind to have committed a crime. But the fact is they grew up somewhere, and they have their opinions, and they have their training, and so on. So by learning art, these law enforcement individuals were able to take a look at a crime scene and accurately read it and then solve their crimes more quickly and accurately than those that hadn't.
Because of art. How about
that?
Yeah. And the same is true with history. You know, a lot of people think we learn history to know the past, but that's actually a byproduct of what we're doing. We study history really to build our skills at making decisions and wise decisions. And at what time and in one place don't you need to make a wise decision? Even, you know, if it's being in the grocery store and picking out food wisely for your health and so on. All the way up to government agencies and so on, everyone needs to be able to make wise decisions. So being able to study history will help that because we can see in history decisions from its origin to its outcome and then be able to see what they asked, and maybe we should be asking the same things, and we can see what they didn't ask and how the outcomes turned out as a result, and maybe we should start asking some of those same questions.
Well, it's like I said, it's part of the people themselves, is why they did this, why the reason they did this, why it failed, why it worked, you know, all the way through. Same thing with the painting, like I said, with the artist. Why did they use that technique? What did they see in that person? How did they do this? And it's, growing up in the antique business, I love furniture advertising. What was the thinking behind this? Why did they do this? How did they come up with this concept? And it's a natural process all throughout history.
Dr. David Grabisky, you've now applied this to museums, haven't you?
I have.
I'm not guessing either.
No,
in fact, told me you did.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I did, and it's the basis of my doctorate. I took a look at the 76 state historical organizations all across the country, including the Bullock, and the other 4 state history organizations here in Texas. Texas is large enough that it has more than one. In Minnesota, we're quite Parisian in how we handle history. Everything flows through the Minnesota Historical Society. Some states are like that, and some are like Texas, but at the end of the day, there's 76 of them across the country, and I took a look at what each of them were doing and how they were doing it and where success was happening and what we could attribute that to. And, you know, we're all in this in order to help people build their decision-making skills.
And learn some history.
Yeah, along the way.
And so as you have now looked at history for 8 or 9 weeks, you say, in El Paso, you probably studied a little bit on your way in, but are you finding this to be a bit unusual, or do we have as good history as anybody, or nobody had Oñate but us? I mean, think about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody had Pierre Le Sueur other than Minnesota, so there we go.
And what did he accomplish?
Well, he's got a great story. He explored the reaches of the Minnesota River and found the Blue Earth, which is a clay there and transported 3 tons of it back to France. And when they found out that it was not copper, as he supposed, the French monarch incarcerated Pierre Lesueur for a brief time.
Oops. I think Almirante met with a similar fate, but it was looking for gold. Mm-hmm. And he didn't quite make the life in the fast lane. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to take a break. This is a commercial event here, so we have to break it half and end things. And also, we want to thank Evelyn Casari for being there on the phone this morning. And Sergio Valenzuela, otherwise known as
Sergio Valenzuela.
He scores a goal every time we do that. Every time. And so I didn't warn enough time. All the people in the applaud just didn't quite
make it. Yes, the other people in the closet.
Didn't quite make it out of the closet. All right, we're going to do trivia here. You want to tell people some things about trivia? You got the Pepe's already figured out.
The $20 in food certificates for Pepe's in New Mexico. Up there in Canutillo, actually.
It's in Texas.
Yes.
In Texas.
North there. And, or you could have an El Paso Gold DVD. So you've got your choices there. So we've got a couple of them. So if you've got a couple of questions, and if you get the first one you answer, we'll have one for the next caller.
You want to go ahead and throw one out there, see what happens.
Okay. The first one we have, the El Paso History Museum and the El Paso Archaeology Museum both have a lot of El Paso history, of course. What events decide what history goes into which museum?
That could get confusing, but yes. It's not. They figured this out.
You have archaeology and you have the history museum.
Now, if you were to go to Pepe's today and pick a special, either one of you over here, Tracy Jerome is in here, along with David Grabinski. Which would you think should be the special of the day? We call this the Oñate special, whichever one you pick.
Okay, this is easy for me. I already know. Green chili cheese enchilada.
There you go. There's a Pepe special today, otherwise known as the Oñate special, which means whatever price is on, it's $6 today.
Awesome.
So that's how that works. And Pepe's is a very good spot. That's historic food, in case you're wondering. Mm-hmm. It's Tex-Mex, mostly New Mex. And the recipes have been around this valley for probably 80 years.
Yeah, with the Griggs family that they used to work for initially.
Yeah, Pepe bought the recipes and he makes the stuff. Okay, so there's the question. Repeat that question if you don't mind.
The El Paso History Museum and the El Paso Archaeology Museum both have a lot of history. What events decide what history goes into which museum?
Go ahead and get the second question, just in case.
In the second museum, what prominent lovable historical figure will be featured in 2018 exhibit about transportation?
A local El Paso figure.
Right.
A lovable historical figure.
Yes, it'll be in the El Paso History Museum.
And about transportation.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to give any clues out.
No, but they'll know that one. Everybody knows that lovable historical
figure. And I don't have Facebook up on my machine just yet, but in the meantime, you've got Facebook going.
I've got Facebook going.
And if somebody wishes to claim some of the stuff we're mentioning,
call us and get on the radio with us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's, New Mexican restaurant and cantina, serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152. A trip to Old Lucia is the perfect representation of what you can experience when you take a ride with the Harley Owners Group, or as they're more often called, the Hogs. The next ride in our future will take you back over 100 years. As you walk through a town square that was once frequented by the outlaw Billy the Kid, you'll see a mission on one end and what used to be the post office on the other. The legendary La Posta is now a restaurant where tropical birds grace the lobby, and you can find some of the best dishes to be had in New Mexico. Old Lucia is truly a treat for the senses. You can see, touch, taste, hear, and even smell the history all around you. And you'll ask yourself, why is that smell so unique? It's the smell you always experience when you're on your new Barnett Harley-Davidson. It's the smell of freedom. Your ride can begin when you click on BarnettHarley.com, because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Now is the one sale worth waiting for. The Crawford Buick GMC Truck Month sale is on right now. This is not your ordinary truck month. This is the Crawford Buick GMC Used Truck Month. Your truck headquarters for 43 years. Every brand, every engine package, two-wheel drive, 4x4, two doors, four doors, options, colors, prices, and the best financing options and rates available anywhere.
I'm just about to say, baby. come visit us. We're next to the airport, Montana and Airway.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941 and use promo code IHEART. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Last year, corporate data breaches were up 40%. This year, it could be worse. Find out if your data is at risk with a free dark web email scan, only from Experian. In less than a minute, you'll know if your identity is at risk. Go to Experian.com/scan to help keep your identity yours with Experian.
Unless you grow your food yourself, how do you know where it comes from and what's been done to it? That's why we started Eat Real Certified. Our dietitians verify that the food you're buying is good for you and good for the planet. Make dining out easy and eat real. Look for us in your city and at eatreal.org.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Hole.
Harvey Girls, and we're talking hurricanes or rabbits.
Just Harvey the Rabbit.
Harvey,
yes.
Yeah, remember that one? Harvey Luther, Girls of, yes. El Paso, meeting Monday, October the 9th. That's coming up soon. Union Passenger Depot Station, 700 West San Francisco. 2 to 4 p.m. The program is Hobo Codes of Railroad Travel, presented by Patricia Kidney. 591-2326 for information. By the way, I should have moved your name up one more. When we get there, do genealogy, okay?
No.
In the meantime, you don't have to. In the meantime, Southwest Chapter of Railway and Locomotive and Historical Society. Going to meet on Wednesday, October 11, St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, 1105 Omontwood. And that's off of Lee Trevino somewhere. 6 to 8 p.m. That was the Rock Island Line coming into El Paso. If you want to know what the heck that is, they got you covered. Steve Heathland will do that one. Railroad history buffs and all kinds of people are welcome. The program and meal cost is $10. On that one, call this number, 540-9660.
The El Paso Genealogical Society will meet Thursday, October 12th at All Saints Episcopal Church at 3500 McCrae, which is off of Montana, and their program is Unraveling the Mystery of Old Photos. That'll be a pretty interesting program. And you can call them at 915-591-2326 for more information. And then also you've got the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. This is the El Paso Rio Grande chapter, and they will meet the 13th of October at the War Eagles Museum out at 08012 Airport Road in Santa Teresa, New Mexico. It's going to be at 10 a.m. Visitors interested in Texas history are welcome, and you can also give them a call for more information at 915-570-5770.
Okay, nobody's calling, so here's what we're going to do.
We're going to
ask our guests the question. We're going to give them the prize.
Ah.
What do you think about that? Pepe's, $20. I mean, you can't really tear it in half, but you can go together or you can go some other time. So let's ask the question. We have Tracy Jerome in here, MCAD director for El Paso City, Dr. David Grabitsky, and he is the new director of the El Paso Museum of History. And ask the question to these people.
The ones we just had?
The people aren't calling 544-5876, so the heck with them.
Okay, the El Paso Museum of History Museum and the El Paso Archaeology Museum both have a lot of El Paso history. What events decide what history goes into which museum?
In fairness, you probably know this, but we didn't discuss it on the radio for these people to get it yet, so this is your turn. What is the deal? What's the dividing line?
Well, archaeology really documents history before it was written down, and so... Really with the arrival of the Spanish, things that happened before then that document human history come out of the ground and so on, go to the Archaeology Museum, and things afterwards come to the El Paso Museum of History.
So there you go. 1598, basically,
Give or take, I guess that would be a late April, early May. I never really understood which. They hit the river, then they crossed the river, and then they had a Thanksgiving. And so somewhere in there at the end of April is the event. And that's when we get excited about it. So, okay, Pepe's. Would you like a Pepe's or a DVD?
Well, Pepe's sounds fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you
Pepe's
be,
is delicious.
You want to be runner-up, and would you like a DVD?
I would be very happy with a DVD.
We'll get you to pick it. Here's your Pepe's. And pick the DVD over here.
Awesome, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Here's a lecture series, Ghost Stories. Not everybody likes that. Waco Tanks. I know, but
she's got the whole show to.
The Smelter.
Right. I'm going to go with the Waco Tanks because it's got a really beautiful link to a new piece of public art that we just cut the ribbon on.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, and I hope that everyone will make the journey out. And I say the journey out because we're sitting on Mesa right now, so it's a journey from here. Oh, gosh.
Timber!
That's a big DVD.
Thank you so much.
Okay, go ahead.
So we just cut the ribbon on our latest public art project, which is called the Sun Pavilion. It's located in the Lower Valley in District 6. Representative Ordaz Perez's district. It's at the Blackie Cheshire Park, which is the busiest park in the city of El Paso. It's phenomenal. You go out, there's the playing fields, and there's lots of green space. And it's an incredibly busy, heavily traversed and heavily visited park. But we now have installed this beautiful piece of public art, again, working with the community to understand what they wanted and what mattered to them. And this is how the process always works with the public art. We bring the community in, and they really wanted something that was going to become iconic, and something that reflected the community, but also something that would be functional. So it's a beautiful pavilion that's been built, and it's fantastic because it's been inspired very much by the Waco Tanks, and so the petroglyphs that are there, the sort of the natural history that's there, the human fingerprint that we've placed and that our ancestors placed on that site was very, very much the inspiration for what you will see that's been interpreted there. There's this incredible oculus that goes over that's in the center of the space. And so as the sun traverses throughout the day, you get different shadowing, you get different play of light. And then at night, it is lit from within. And so it becomes this beacon and this sort of mysterious site that I think people are going to really love. I think it's going to become a gathering space. It's located in a great place where, you can meet up. You can get a little bit of shade while you're there. Sometimes the ice cream trucks come through, so it's a great place where you can enjoy your ice cream. But again, it's a really phenomenal new piece, the newest addition to our portfolio of public art. And it is very uniquely El Pasoan, so please come and visit it.
Great.
And this is something that NCAD does. That's that's your museum hat over here, but that's cultural affairs over there.
Yes, sir.
So you're in charge of a lot of stuff.
I have the greatest job in the world because I have this incredible portfolio. So I have, within the portfolio, I have the three museums that are currently in existence, Museum of Art, Museum of History, Museum of Archaeology. I also have the public art program, which we have one of the most active, aggressive public art programs in the country. We are coming up on our 11th birthday. We've completed over 50 projects. We have another 21 projects on the go as we speak. And when you look at a city like, for example, just to give you some perspective about how busy that is, the city of San Francisco has about the same number of completed projects, and they're over 30 years old, their program is. So that'll tell you kind of how committed this community is to public art.
They might have a little bit different budget as well, I would guess, in San Francisco for art.
Yeah, I don't,
Well, you're doing pretty good.
What I'm telling you is that this community is incredibly committed, understanding the importance of public art. It's an entry point, and it's an access point that's provided in a way that no other cultural site can provide because it goes into the community. It's right there. You don't have to cross the threshold into a building or into a site. You don't have to be invited in. You don't have to have a ticket. You don't have to schedule. It's right there.
Well, you're driving around. Like, whoa, look at there.
There it is.
Yes, exactly. Interesting stuff. All right, we're going to talk more about the history in El Paso and what we're going to do about it, as well as the art. Nick, need to take another break here.
Yeah, I think so.
And call us up. I mean, if you're afraid to call us, then that's your business.
Yes, that's right.
Otherwise, we're going to give you prizes if you do.
That's right.
But not instantly. If you want to have a question for these guys.
Yeah, why not?
Here's an idea. What's that number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
At this point, I kind of want to smash the TV. But instead, I went to iPlay.com and downloaded the app and play new and classic games on my computer for free. No sign up and no credit card required. Nothing like a good mystery to take me away, but I don't have time for a movie or a novel. So instead, I'm into the latest iPlay games in the Mystery Case Files Adventure Series. And when I need a classic, Agatha Christie murder mystery games hit the spot. I get my mystery fix and come away thinking more clearly. No Wi-Fi? No problem. With the free iPlay app, I can play my games offline and tune out.
I want to watch TV!
I'm so glad I went to iPlay.com and downloaded the app. It's my daily sanity restoration. I play every day.
Hi, this is Amy Keith with FlipCheapHouses.com. Our company specializes in teaching beginners how to invest in real estate with little to no financial risk. Are you determined to succeed and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to work one-on-one with a professional real estate investor for 12 months? Are you motivated and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to start a business now? With our help, in as little as 2 weeks, you can start putting deals together flipping cheap houses. Are you ambitious and have at least $10,000 for startup fees and want to get a side business started for additional income? If you can give us 10 hours a week, we can show you how to flip cheap houses. If you are a beginner and want to learn how to flip cheap houses, then help me help you. Go to our website at help2017.com and watch our free webinar. That's HELP2017.com to watch our free webinar. HELP2017.com.
Need a walking or running partner? Need a security system? Need some entertainment? Need some love? A pet from the Humane Society of El Paso can be all those things, but you have to adopt one first. The Humane Society of El Paso, open for adoptions 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5. Come on over. Your new best friend is waiting at 4991 Fred Wilson. Be part of the solution with the Humane Society of El Paso.
Unless you grow your food yourself, how do you know where it comes from and what's been done to it? That's why we started Eat Real Certified. Our dietitians verify that the food you're buying is good for you and good for the planet. Make dining out easy and eat real. Look for us in your city and at eatreal.org.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to talk to you right now about the 10:30 p.m. Sunday night broadcast of El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey. Now, El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey is actually in New Mexico. But since El Paso people built it, and it looks at El Paso, not New Mexico, it's El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey. And the people who built it were from Smeltertown, and they worked at DeSarco. And the priest one day said, hey, let's put a monument up there.
He had a vision.
It took a while, but
he had a vision.
Did it.
Yes, he did.
Don't leave that out. He had a vision.
Talk about public art. Of course it was a vision.
He had a vision.
And he also had the Pope saying to people across the world, go figure out what to do about this and make our figures show up. So he decided to put that up there. Didn't know if that was in Mexico, New Mexico, or Texas.
But we're going to put it there.
But he did. And so the point is we made a DVD about that. That DVD runs Sunday night, tomorrow night on KRWG Channel 22 at 10:30 p.m., and it'll be there that night, and it'll be next Saturday at noon, a full repeat of that. So
fantastic
there you
story.
Go. Well, we're just giving away the history because if you want to know it, there it is tomorrow night on Channel 22.
And speaking of history,
yes.
You know, all those really cool houses you see over in Sunset Heights, you know, with the Victorian all the style, and you always kind of wonder what they look like inside. Here's your chance to see some of those wonderful houses. The 14th annual Sunset Heights Tour of Homes is coming up, and that's going to be on October 14th, and it's going to be from noon to 4 p.m., and it's a Saturday. And tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids. And you can pre-buy the tickets or buy them the day of the event at the Hal Marcus Gallery or at the Burgess House, which is at 603 West Yandell. And Hal Marcus's gallery is at 1308 Oregon Street. Now, this tour is a wonderful event. You can either walk it, or they're going to have pedicabs and take you on the tour.
Oh, we get a pedicure?
Pedicabs. Oh, they will not be doing
not
a pedicure or a manicure
Never
while
mind.
You're riding around.
Never mind.
Which would be nice, actually. Or you can rent a bike. You can do the El Paso Bike Share program. It's going to have bikes there, so it'll be
some of it
cool.
Downhill. I can do downhill.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, meet me at the bottom.
Those hills in Sunset Heights. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great event. You could even drive your car if you want from point to point. But there's some wonderful houses on that tour. You've got the Kohlberg House. You've got the Burgess House, which is the Historical Society's house, which is wonderful.
What's that one that Wright thought he designed, but he didn't?
That's
the Trost House.
That's the McGregor, isn't it?
Yes,
the
McGregor
House,
which is
we always talk about Henry Trost and the Trost and Trost Design Group. Go look at the house. It's
Frank Lloyd Wright came through town. They parked at the car just to say, "Hey, look at this house." He said, "I don't remember designing the house in El Paso." He didn't.
It was
Trost.
Wonderful.
He thought it was his.
Yeah, it's a wonderful example of prairie design.
Yes.
If people are wondering what prairie or arts and craft design
take
is,
a look.
Go take a look.
What's the date
it's
of this
my
again?
Favorite.
It says October.
It's October 14th. It's going to be on a Saturday. It'll be from noon to 4 p.m. But definitely get out there. For more information, you can call Hal Marcus Gallery at 533-9090. Or you can get a hold of the Sunset Heights Neighborhood Improvement Association. And I would Google on that one. I can't give you that whole address.
Oh, call Hal. He wants to talk
call
to
Hal.
You.
He loves talk talking to people. So, but no, get out there. It is a fun event, and you'll enjoy the heck out of it.
All right, we got Jack on hold here. We also have Tracy Jerome in the house, Dr. David Grabitsky. And Jack, you're on the radio here. What's up?
Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Good morning. Is the lady there that is with the public art?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Her name is Tracy Jerome.
This is Jerome?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I was just wondering. I live in the area east El Paso, and on Sumac Street at Travis White Park, you all just erected a new public art.
Yes, sir. There was an installation that we cut the ribbon on a week ago.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was just wondering about that. It seems to me it's a bunch of green pipes. 30-foot green pipe going in all directions with a bunch of children's wagons, red children's wagons, Western Flyer wagons hanging off of that. What is that supposed to represent?
Yes, sir. That piece is it's called Wagon Spouts, and it was created by the artist Chris Fennell. Again, with the public art program, we always work with members of the community. The concept behind that work, Travis White, again, is a beautiful park. And that piece was very much inspired by the location of the park, which is nestled between two schools. There's a lot of activity that the schools do come in, and they use the parks very much. And when we were working with the artist on the concept of how that piece was going to work out, again, the community expressed an interest in making sure that the children of the community were going to be involved, and also that it would also be a functional piece of art. So that piece is very much inspired by the idea, and if you remember the fairy tale about Jack and the Beanstalk, the very, very large stalks that come and it sprouts out of the ground. The red wagons that you see that are there they reference, you know, childhood, something that I think we can all relate to. It was interesting because when I was there for the ribbon cutting, there were a number of people, different generations, speaking about how we all have great memories of the red wagon.
Well, this is Jack. This is his beanstalk, I think.
Well, maybe this is your beanstalk. But the red wagons, which are the blooms that sit on the top of those beanstalks, that's how we decided to use the wagons. And there are benches that are integrated as well.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I was just wondering. I'm a grown man, and to me, it's ruined the park.
Oh,
it's extremely ugly, out of place, and gauche looking. But I'm an older guy. I would just like to know, why didn't you ask anybody in the area there send them plans. You didn't seem to coordinate it with any of the people that have to live around.
Apparently, they did.
Sir, with the public art program, whenever we are looking to do a new project within a community, we spend a lot of time with members of the community. We work through your representative. We do a lot of outreach in the community. We had a lot of engagement with the neighborhood associations there. We had a lot of members of the community that came in and worked throughout the entire process with us.
No one contacted us about this thing.
Well, it was announced publicly, sir.
I just ask anybody to drive down Sumac Street to Travis White Park, look at the top of the park, and see if this public art thing adds to our park.
It probably does. I put you on hold here. We'll like to maybe our call screener to get your phone number that you can talk off the air with the museum people at another time. If you don't mind, Evelyn, get his phone number. Public art is what it is in the eye of the beholder. And frankly, if that's how you see it, that's what it is. I thought it was a big, huge flowering thing, and you said it was a beanstalk. Well, okay, that's fair enough. It is what it is, and it evokes people to comment, obviously. And as far as the public art goes, there's art all over town. Now, you also have the wind items on I-10 at Airway?
Airway, uh-huh.
And that has come and gone in discussion. Mm-hmm. But I think, by and large, it helps hit the identity.
Well, we appreciate everyone's opinions. And, you know, art is one of those things that should evoke an opinion.
Yeah.
I appreciate this caller's feedback. We really do appreciate it. But I'm very proud of our public art program because, again, we do engage the public. We do go into the community and we work very, very closely with them. It's something that everybody can have an opinion about, and we do appreciate
that. Well, also, you put out the notices in advance.
Oh, very much.
And you get comments.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we actually have members of the community that participate in the panels when we select the artists, when the designs come out. I actually really enjoy the process because we do go into the community. We survey them, you know, what type of art do you want to see? How do you envision this happening? And so it's really great that everyone has an opinion. We live in a democracy. I've lived in many countries in my life, and I can tell you something, that we have the messiest process in the world, and it's the best process in the world because everyone does have an opinion. Now, not everybody always gets to see exactly what they want, but everyone does have a voice, and we do appreciate the feedback.
He can also contact his city rep if he wants to take it further and maybe come see y'all.
Absolutely.
At some point in the future. All right.
Thank you.
The history of El Paso being what it is, that's kind of what we have on our brain today. And it's called the El Paso History Radio Show. What a coincidence. Dr. David Grabitsky is here. Now, I know you really, doctor isn't what you normally are used to hearing, but we'll call you David Grabitsky, doctor, because you went to the
Dr. G.
You went to the school for the longest time. You might as well get credit for it, dude.
I mean, well, thank you.
But now you have also a different approach on how to do history. What are your plans?
Well, again, flowing from where history, why we study history, and we talked about this in the last segment about how history is something that we study to improve our decision-making skills and the framing thought that we have at the History Museum going forward for at least the next few years is this idea of choosing El Paso. Whether you've had 10 generations behind you and you chose to stay, or like my colleague Ben Fife did, grew up here and moved away and he chose to return. And
I'm one of those.
Yeah, you are as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met a number of people who have been weather refugees of some kind or another. They came here because of Hurricane Rita or some other reason, or, you know, we came here to not have a snowblower.
You might get a dust blower and think about it, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. Call me in March.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the full cycle of weather here in El Paso, but there's a lot of choices that we make on a day-to-day basis, and one of them is to choose El Paso. El Paso's a top 20 city in so many different respects,
yeah.
Number 19 in population, second most safest this year, was announced earlier this year, and so on. There's a lot of ways in which El Paso is a very prominent city in the United States, and we intend to have the museum reflect that and to build upon that and to be a top 20 history museum, building on the choices that we've all made.
I call it world-class history, and there's so many events and circumstances and people who have come from here, mm-hmm. that make this a world-class history place. And some of them, they're not always the most fun. I mean, the Mexican Revolution was not fun for a lot of people. But if you look at it on a world stage of history, it preceded the Russian Revolution. And it sort of looks like maybe the Russians figured out, oh, you can do that?
Look what they did in Mexico. And so there's a lot that's gone on here that's a bit unusual. And, you know, a lot of things come to mind. The geology unto itself is very unusual here. Mm-hmm. We have geologists come in and say, oh, my goodness, do you know about this? You know about this? You know about the dinosaur? Oh, you got dinosaur tracks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Things like that. But then you look at the human history. And El Paso was a north-south place for the longest time because of the river and Mexico and Oñate went up and down. And all of a sudden they found something in California that made people come through here in droves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gold. Passing through the pass.
They had to come through here to get to the gold fields of California. So all of a sudden, the rest of Texas connected over here. And I think you're going to find all kinds of history as the people came and went. But, Melissa, you've been greatly involved in the reenactment business of the Old West history. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge piece of our history right there.
I mean, it's expanded out from there. I mean, I like all history, national history, international history. And this is El Paso. We're not just, you know, the Old West history.
Oh, no.
It's all of it. That's the funny part about it. It's actually an international history because my husband and I actually work in Mexico. We've worked there for years, so we understand the mixture of histories that you have here, the European influence, the, you know, all different kinds of culture like you have from Minnesota. We have all that. We have the German influence. You have the Middle Eastern influence here. I mean, it's just amazing, the Chinese. It's a very unique town, and I'm curious about what you want to do as now the museum director and how you can put that history into one small building and get that out to the people of El Paso. Because that's one of the unfortunate things we do talk about is there's not enough time in school for kids to get this kind of education. And I know you get a lot of school tours. You're planning on expanding that, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my chief tasks that came out of the interview process was very much building the engagement of the History Museum here in El Paso. School children really have a great piece in that as well.
We got Susan Eisen playing in the heads here. She has to wait her turn, okay?
Yeah.
Make Susan go away. Thank you.
And, you know, I was so delighted when was in to visit my son's school here a couple weeks ago. They had Bring Dad to School Day. And so I spent the first hour of my morning there, and my son's teacher, Mrs. Stewart, told me how much she hoped to be able to bring her class in yet this year. And that's exactly what we want to build, is all of the schools, the many schools here in El Paso, to bring them all through the History Museum.
Well, one of the challenges that I saw, I discovered, you know, first impressions are always very, very important. And I try to maintain my first impressions of everything that I did when I first got to El Paso, because again, I came with very much, you know, very much with open and inexperienced eyes of this community. I didn't know the community and I was open to all of it. I fell in love very quickly, of course, but you know, one of the challenges that I saw at that site is I walked in and there was nothing about El Paso. The history about El Paso was hidden kind of on another floor upstairs, which a lot of people never get to. And I was very concerned about that. One of the things that I found very, very appealing when we were interviewing and speaking to candidates, one of the things that I really connected with Dr. Grabitsky was his idea of, you know, conceptually approaching and looking at how we were going to talk about our history in a new way and focusing on, you know, for me, I want to put our history into the perspective of the bigger picture. And that's what we've been working on since I've been here. Where we fit in the bigger picture. But maybe after, I think we're getting a signal for a break.
We need a break.
Okay.
You're getting better at this radio
but
thing.
But he's going to come back, and he's going to talk to you about his first exhibition that he's actually going to curate. I want to tell the story about him landing here. And then that's going to be the transition, because we need to talk about him landing here, diving in the deep end, and then where he's swimming now.
Just don't say it looked like you're landing on the moon, okay?
Yeah.
That's what my wife
said. Never.
Oh, no.
How long can you tread water?
Oh, and somebody wants to know about the second trivia question. Well, call us up if you want. We'll still
call
give you a prize.
At 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina.
The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
El Paso HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. El Paso HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Listen to what Jeff says about Andro 400.
This product is so much better than even some of the advertisements. This changed every aspect of my life. That was a 40 waist, and with the Andro 400, I'm down to a 36. I'm 54 years old, and people have said to me that I look better than I ever have, and that I look like I'm in my early 40s. Hands down, I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm telling you, it's the Andro. People immediately notice the burst of energy, my skin, my energy, plus the weight loss, the toning of the body, and the increased strength and endurance that I have in the gym. Where I was and where I am now, night and day. And Andro 400 has made the difference. My customers, my friends, my family, everybody's noticing the difference.
Guys, if you want to lose belly fat, gain energy, strength, and muscle, and look and feel years younger like Jeff, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Andro400.com.
Think data breaches only affect companies? Think again. It could be your data being sold on the dark web. See if you're at risk with a free dark web email scan only from Experian. It costs nothing and it could help you keep your identity yours. Start now for free at Experian.com/scan.
Nelson Mandela once said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world."
Your support of the Star Scholarship Fund helps change the world.
Join us for Casino Night, November 9th at the Stars Extravaganza, offering live music, live auction, and great food.
Thank you for supporting Star Scholarship Fund.
Learn more about Star Scholarship today.
Don't wait. Visit starscholarship.org.
Are you hiring? Join over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got about a minute and a half before we got to take the top of the hour break. And Tricia Jerome here has an idea or two to explain to us.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention sort of how Dr. Grabitzky arrived. So as you're all probably very aware, we have this incredible series of exhibitions called The Wall of Giants, where we celebrate every on an annual basis, every year, we celebrate different individuals, organizations, institutions that are our giants in this community. And so to welcome Dr. Grabitzky, he had been here literally days before it was time to celebrate our newest Wall of Giants. So he definitely hit the ground running. And we do encourage everyone to please come and share with this great new exhibition celebrating St. Patrick's Cathedral as well as Cathedral High School. It's an amazing exhibition. And not only talking about the history of the church and the history of the influence that it's had here in this community, but I think it's a walk down memory lane for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And the response has already been incredible. But again, it was definitely he definitely had to hit the ground running because he arrived and it was time for installation. It was time for all the things that go around this annual exhibition that everyone anticipates.
The biggest unofficial fraternity in El Paso are graduates from Cathedral High School.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. As you found out,
you'll
didn't
probably
you?
Know one when you see one.
They just handed you a hammer and said, here, nail this and put it there. Right, yeah.
Because it's an amazing group of people. They're well-schooled coming out of there. So as it is, Sergio, we look like we're taking a break here, are we not? Shall we hear music? I don't hear music. Anyway, the point is that we'll be back after
I'll
the
sing.
News at the top of the... No. There's the music
there's
I
the
was
music.
Looking for. La musica.
Yeah, you don't want to hear me
play
sing.
Us out.
No, we're not going to sing a minute of this. By the way, I'm thinking of doing a show where we do every song that has El Paso mentioned in it. We'll see how that works. It's a copyright question at this point. Anyway, after the news, we're coming back and talking about Museum of History, Cultural Arts, and things El Paso.
Culture.
See you there.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.